right, I'm going to get you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 as the young men and women are exiting to go to the children's church. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Apostle Paul has is written to the church of Ephesus, written to Timothy, his young pastor there, his son in the faith, and he's given him instructions as to how the church should conduct themselves, and he's given him a manner in which he should conduct himself and the leaders of the church. And we've kind of talked about that in the previous studies, two or three studies. And now we have come to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul gives young Timothy a glimpse of the future, what is to come. And not only were they seeing it in their day, but we see it prevailing rapidly in our day. We talk about the heresy, the Gnostics and the sectics back in his day, which has spun totally out of control in our day and grown into a facet of other things that have crept into the church and caught us unaware. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to ask those who are physically able, would you please stand in the honor of the reading of God's holy word? 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Father, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces deep to the bone and even the marrow. Father, it deals with us inwardly, so that we may be an example outwardly of Jesus Christ. So it is my prayer that today you would teach us, you would encourage us, and even you would convict us, Father, that you would put your thumb on an area of our life to where we can give up or be more pleasing to you, so we can draw close to you for the sake of Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 4 that now the Spirit expressly says, and friend, we've said it before, but this is the holy word of God, and now that the Spirit is speaking, we do not take that lightly. We see in the book of Revelation that the Spirit says, and when the Apostle John says that in the book of Revelation, he's talking about Jesus Christ himself. So now that we know that the Spirit is speaking, we know that God is speaking himself. When Jesus speaks, we know that God is speaking himself, because we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they're all one, and they are all God. And they speak to us. And it still amazes me today that he would speak to me. But he does. Now, what does he say here? That in later times, some will depart from the faith. Look at verse 1. In later times. Now, the Apostle Paul here is speaking to young Timothy at the church of Ephesus, and he's not talking about at the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's talking about before that day, because, friend, I'm here to tell you that at the day of Jesus Christ's rapture, he's coming for the church. So therefore, church members are not going to be departing from the faith. They're going to be gone. They're going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ at that time. So he's talking about later times, meaning the time that they were in that day. Not only then, but also in our day, before the rapture of the church. These are the later times that the Apostle Paul is speaking of. Then he says, what's going to happen in these later times? This is what the Spirit says, that in later times something's going to happen here. And the Bible goes on in verse 1, if you look at it, and it says, some will depart from the faith. Friend, that's a sad day when a professing Christian, someone who has confessed, they profess to know Jesus Christ, and they leave the faith. Why do they leave the faith? Well, there's two reasons why they were leaving the faith in the first century. And I share that with you first. You had a scepticism growing in the church. That was the belief that if you wanted to be holy, if you wanted to be godly, then you could not get married. That was heresy. Also, if you wanted to be holy or godly, then you could not eat certain foods. And then we had Gnosticism rapidly growing in the first century, which means that matter could not be spiritual. In other words, they believed that Jesus Christ could not be God because he had a physical body. Therefore, matter could not be attached with spiritual things, which is also heresy. And the Apostle Paul was warning against these false doctrines, these false teachings. He says this, look at verse 1 again. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of who? Demons. Friend, I'm here to tell you that demons are very real. They were very real in the first century, and they are very real in our day. Now, I don't say this just to scare you, friend. I don't say it to scare you at all. I'm merely telling you what the Bible says. Jesus, God, the Spirit, God the Father, says that people have left the faith because they have given in to those who have deceived them with the doctrines of demons. In the previous study in 1 Timothy, we see the Apostle Paul given a warning against those false doctrines. And now he comes along and he gives us an insight on who is responsible for these false doctrines. And it is the devil himself, demons. They go about and they speak lies. Look in verse 2. Verse 2 says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. This is not a sudden fall. This is not something that somebody just immediately falls into, friend. but it is a slow fade. People, they are deceived by things slowly, and it creeps into the church itself. We know that, for instance, way back in Genesis, that God ordained marriage. And there is nothing wrong with being married. With the ascetics of this day, they would say in order to be holy, you have to practice celibacy. And friend, I'm here to tell you that there are some, even today, that practice celibacy so that they can be holy or godly. And that's not the case. Not the case at all. As a matter of fact, there's nothing that we can do in order to be more holy. How are we holy? How are we set apart? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by some act that we do on our own. Some, even today, abstain from certain foods. We see it in the midst. Our sphere of reach today. People who abstain from certain foods in order to be more spiritual or to be more holy. That's not the case. Let me tell you how you're set apart, friend. It's how the Apostle Paul explained in verse 16 of chapter 3. He said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, Jesus Christ, born of the babe, justified in the Spirit. He was baptized. He preached and ministered through the Spirit. He was seen by angels. He was preached among the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world. And friend, whenever he showed his passion at the cross of Calvary, when he shed his lifeblood to cover our sins, he was then received up into glory. And the only way he could be received up into glory is because it pleased the Father. Thereby, we are saved through Jesus Christ and Him alone. But don't get me wrong, friend. Christianity is not about a bunch of do's and don'ts. But listen to me. It is about a bunch of do's and don'ts. What do you mean by that? We don't work for our salvation, but we serve from our salvation. We smile because Jesus is in our heart. We don't smile to get Jesus in there, but we do it because He is there. And that's the difference. So the Apostle Paul, he is going against these deceivers. Well, who are these deceivers? Well, it's people inside the church who are preaching and practicing the doctrines of demons. Let me take you to 1 John. Chapter 2. The Bible says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they may be made manifest, and that none of them were of us. Let me tell you why we see a lot or some leaving the faith in our day. Some leave the faith in our day because they have a profession and not a possession. They profess to know Jesus Christ. They profess to have life and have it more abundantly, but actually, there's not what you hear the phrase, there's not proof in the pudding. They don't possess life because there's no expression of life. There's no expression of Jesus Christ living inside them. So we have those who profess Jesus, but they do not possess Jesus. Therefore, before too long, they weren't of us, so they wind up leaving us. That's one person that leaves the faith. Who's the other person that leaves the faith? I'm going to tell you the other person that leaves the faith. They let this mindset of the Gnostics and the ascetics back in this day, they have a mindset that they know better. We've outsmarted God. They've gotten too intelligent for God. They know more than God. What are the ascetics and Gnostics of today? Well, one is materialism. We see that. We see people who run after material things, wealth, things of this nature. We see them running after all different sorts of things. They don't put God first. People are not putting God first in their life. And that's why we see some leaving the faith. Why is that? Well, as the Apostle Paul says here, the conscience is seared with a hot iron. In my own experience with people in the church, and I'm just going to lay it out, they're not hungry and thirsty for God anymore. That's why you see people leaving the faith. They're not hungry and thirsty for the Word. They don't want to come to church anymore. They got better way, better things to do. People are not hungry and thirsty for God anymore until they need Him. So in other words, what they're doing is they're putting God up on a pedestal and they're saying, you just stay there, God, until I need you. I don't need you right now. And then whenever trouble comes, they want to pull God off the shelf and say, oh, God, I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you now. And then when their problem works out, they put them back on the shelf. I don't need you anymore, God. We're trying to make God our errand boy. You go fetch and do the things I want you to do when I want you to do them and leave me alone the rest of the time. And that's just the way it is. We have become so calloused and our minds seared to, oh, we don't have, here's one thing that we say often in the Baptist church.
And I've said it before, and it's true. This is a fact. All because I stand in the garage, it don't make me a car. Just like all because we come to church, it don't make us a Christian. But you know what? Some people don't get it. They take it and they run with it and they go the different direction. Well, the preacher said, all because I'm in church don't mean I'm a Christian, so I don't have to go to church. No, that's not what I'm saying. It was misunderstood. It was misheard. Jesus Christ, where did he go whenever he was walking the face of the earth? Where did Jesus go when he was ministering? He went to church. Where did the Apostle Paul go? Every time you see the Apostle Paul go, read the book of Acts sometimes. Whenever you see the Apostle Paul going anywhere to any town, the very first thing he would do was find a synagogue and he would go there first. And then he would go out of the church and minister to everybody else. There was only one place that he couldn't go to church. That's when he went to Philippi. In Philippi, they didn't have a synagogue. So he searched for somebody that was worshiping Jesus Christ. Who was it? It was a bunch of ladies down by the riverside, Lydia and her posse. But he found the congregation and he worshiped with them. He served them and he received prayer and gave prayer for them. Why do we find ourselves in such a mess? Because we have this mindset we see materialism drawing us away from the church. We put other things first. That draws us away from the church. But also rationalism. We rationalize in our minds, well, you don't have to be in church to be a Christian. And that's true. You don't. But where are you going to get fed? Well, there's TV. Well, where's the preacher at on TV? He's in church. Hello. But it's a slow fade. This is where we start. I don't have to be in church to be a Christian. And then we begin to read our Bibles less. We've fallen out of church. Then we stop doing our devotions. We stop reading the Bible. And then for too long, we even stop looking at the TV, the preachers on TV. And then before you know it, we're not even praying with our kids and our wives and our husbands. We don't pray like we used to. And then before too long, we don't even pray over dinner or pray our night prayers anymore. And before too long, our conscience is so seared. It's like a hot iron has closed up something there. And we just don't believe anymore. The Apostle Paul was speaking against the hypocrisy, the lies in that day. Those who were trying to be more spiritual by forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from certain foods. And the Apostle Paul comes in, look at verse 3, and he says, God's the one who created them. God created marriage. God created everything that we eat. Guess who created the church? God. Jesus did. You know, I think about this and I think about it and I think about it and I think about it and I think, and the more I think about it, I think, you know, Paul the apostle and John and all the apostles and the disciples in that day, Peter, and they all worked their fingers to the bone to keep the church alive. And then I think about in our day, all the people who worked their fingers to the bone to keep the church alive. And I think about my wife back here with the children to keep their hearts stirring for Jesus Christ. And I think about our people that's been here forever to keep the church alive. And some are falling from the faith. And some are dismissing the church altogether. And where's all this work going? The legacy is being lost. And I think about all these people who kept the church alive. And then I think back, well, you know, if it wasn't for them, some of the churches these days, the doors wouldn't even be open still. And then I think about who started the church. Jesus Christ started the church. Oh, did he work his fingers to the bone? Friend, I'm going to tell you something. He bled out his life's blood for the church. And we can't take that lightly. We can't take it lightly. For every creature of God is good, verse 4 says. And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. I love that. Nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Y'all think about that. And we thank God for all kinds of things. And we should thank God for everything that we own, everything that we have, who we are, who He has made us to be in Him. We are God's created beings. Look at verse 5. For it is sanctified by the word of God and power. I believe every Christian should evaluate themselves. They should evaluate what they hear. I know when I go to the jail and preach, I hadn't been there in a year. I had to take one of the irons out of the fire. I hadn't been there in a while, but I used to tell the guys there, don't listen to me. And they give me this look, like, what? I said, don't listen to me. Don't believe what I'm telling you. I said, you go to God's word and confirm it. Let Him speak to you. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And that every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world, back then in the first century, and is ever more present with us today. Demons that want to see you fall from the faith. Demons that want to see you stop reading the Word of God. Demons that want to see you not come to church. Demons that will tell you the rational things that we think of. Demons that will tell you this is more important. Beware. Beware of the Antichrist that is already now. Let me get you to stand. Father, this is your hour. Father, this is your church. Father, we are your people. You have created it all. You are the Almighty God, the everlasting King. Father, we pray that it is right now. Right now, that if there's anyone here today that does not have a personal relationship with you, that today would be the day of salvation for that person. God, give us a desire to hunger and thirst for your holy word. A hunger and a thirst for you. You may be here this morning. You say, Brother Dale, God has spoke to me today. And there's been a time in my life where I have professed to know Christ. I have made a profession of faith, but Brother Dale, I have to know. I've doubted before. I've doubted over and over. I don't have that assurance. If that's you here this morning, God's speaking to your heart. What is He saying? Is He whispering to you, come, you know of me, but I want you to know me. I want that personal, intimate relationship with you. If He's speaking to your heart this morning, you lift your heart up to Him and say, oh God, I hear now. Not only am I hearing, but I'm listening to you now. Father, save me before it's eternally too late. I believe, God, with all my heart, that God loves me so much that He sent you to die in my place. And I believe that that blood of Jesus Christ covers my sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead 3 days after His death on the cross. And I want to confess Jesus as Lord. And I want to confess Him as Lord of my life. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise to you. And if that's you here this morning, don't wait. Obey the initial prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then you may be here this morning and you say, Brother Dale, I've let the things of the world, the things of the flesh, materialism and rationalism get the best of me. And I want to put God first in my life. I know I'm saved, but I want Him to be first. 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 You lift your heart up to God. Whatever the case may be, you do business with God this morning before you leave here. I'm begging you. God wants you. And if you would like to share that decision.